In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So like I began this Mass, it really is a great joy for me to be able to celebrate Mass here. Especially, I love being able to celebrate Mass where we don't have any unnatural light. So we get to do it sort of in darkness in a sense, but it allows us to move away from those things which so beleaguer us in our modern culture, where our cell phones here don't work very well, where the iPad fails and hopefully has run out of battery. We hope that that's what's going on. Because it allows us to get back to the experience of why we're even here. We're here not because of some sort of technological breakthrough or because of what some gizmo is able to do for us. The reason why we come here is because we want to get back to our roots, back to what's most important, back to our family. And we're here because our family is not just some family who happens to get together and likes to have reunions and parties in the summer, but rather because we have a family that's fixed firmly on faith. That's why we're here. Many of you can speak about the experiences that you've had here within this beautiful church, the weddings you've celebrated, the baptisms, first Holy Communions received at this same altar rail which is here. But do you even know who our saint is today? Saint Ignatius? Saint Ignacio? Saint Nachito? Huh? De Loyola. Beautiful Spanish man. But did you know that, yes, he's a great saint, and yes, he wrote many great writings, and yes, he founded the great Jesuit order which stormed the world for Christ. Did you know what he was before he even cared who Jesus was? He was a soldier. He's a warrior. He's a fighter. Not just any soldier, but a highly successful one. One who was feared and well respected. But I want to share with you, because I know we have many opportunities to talk about St. Ignatius, hopefully over the next 12 or 20 years that I get to be your pastor, God willing, for me anyway, who he is. Let's begin with his conversion moment. What happened with St. Ignatius is that he was a man, of great warrior skill and who was feared and fierce on the battlefield, but he was also incredibly vain. What happened in his life was he was hit and struck with his leg at a cannonball. Blew his leg to pieces. And because of that, he had to be laid up in bed for an entire month to get it to set properly. And during that time, many amazing things happened. But one of the greatest things that showed his own weakness was that because the doctors didn't set his leg right when it was smashed, they set it crooked. So that every time that he'd walk with a little bit of a hobble because it wasn't exactly perfectly set. And what was even worse for him was that he said it was going to mess up his ability to dance. So that when he was taking a young lady out on the floor to seek to court her, he would look a bit awkward. And he said, it cannot be so. So he forced them to break his leg again so that it could be reset rightly. Such was his vanity. He was willing to undergo somebody forcefully breaking his leg and spend another month for it to mend rather than to go through the rest of his life with a little bit of a hobble. What happened with him when he was on his bed there? When St. Ignatius was there on his bed, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. His crutches weren't working so well. He couldn't move around in any sort of way. And all that they left him, because he was stowed away in a convent where some religious sisters were, they gave him two books. One was a book of the Gospels. The second was a book of the lives of the saints. Those are the only two things he had at his leisure. He couldn't get up and go out and do things or exercise or practice his military skill with the sword or with shooting or anything like that. So what did he do? Every day he would ponder things. He only had those two books at his bedside, so he read those. Read a little bit of the Gospels. He'd read the lives of the saints. And what he noticed something was something that he came to base. Something which he came to base the whole of his life upon. Some spiritual principles, which I'll share with you now. He began to realize that as he was reading these readings, that his soul was full of joy. And also, he spent some of his other time thinking about stories of gallantry, of chivalry, of taking the hills, and all these great stories of warrior tales that he used to have, of him winning maidens' hands, of him doing heroic things on the battlefield. He noticed that there was a difference, though, when he meditated upon those things and when he thought about the things of the lives of the saints. When he thought about the things of his former life, of gallantry, of being a great warrior, of rescuing the damsel, of all those things which brought him such great pleasure earlier in his life, what he began to realize was that they filled him with great joy too. But after a short while, they faded. That joy faded and left him in great sadness and lack. They quickly dissipated into fear and, I wish I could be better, but I'm not and I stink right now. But when he meditated upon the lives of the saints and their heroic lives, even though in short little things that he was able to read about them, snippets of their lives, he began to see that his heart was ennobled and courageous. And then that feeling of good and of joy didn't dissipate shortly, but carried on all throughout the rest of the day. And because all he could do was do those two things all day long, he began to realize that pattern because he wasn't stupid. He was paying attention to what was going on within his soul. And it began to make him realize that those things were of earthly things that passed and didn't make any difference in the totality of his life. But those things, the lives of the saints, inspired him to want to be better and to pursue those things which lasted not merely in this life, but in the life which is to come. And so that began to bring within him a recognition of what is lasting and what is fleeting, of what is true and what is false, of what has only goodness in this life which quickly dissipates in worldly pleasures, and that which continues to climb from glory to glory and deepen, and to give him a deeper sense of purpose. And so that's what I want to impress upon you today. I know that for most of you, this isn't the first time I've seen you. So I know that most of you go to Mass just about every Sunday, usually in Santa Rosa, because I know you. But I want to give you something to be able to take your lives of maybe just going to Mass on Sundays and take it to the next level like St. Ignatius, our patron, did. What he was inspired by was daily looking through the lives of the saints. They're awesome things. So many saints. Each one of us has a name. And at our baptism, each one of us was given another saint's name. Each one of us also was born on a saint's day. If you've been confirmed, maybe you took another saint as your patron there. Or if you were ordained a priest or a deacon, like the two of us, that's only us right here, you took another name, another saint. And maybe there are other things associated with your patrons of your employ, or of your particular state in life, or of things that you met and you read and these people's lives inspired you. The charge is to go back to that. St. Ignatius found lasting joy, lasting experience, not the fleeting joy that you can have by watching, I don't know if Survivor is still even on, I don't own a TV, so I don't know. Or whatever, Dancing with the Stars, where you see that those beautiful things that are going on, and then quickly it fades away and you're left with your just normal life, sitting there around your boring dinner table or whatever is going on. But the lives of the saints take us beyond and ennoble us. This is the challenge. Around your dinner tables, instead of just looking at your gizmos, instead of the people's faces who you're around at the dinner table, moms and dads, Why don't you pass a basket just like we pass at church and collect those things and put them aside? And why don't you fill the time that you're speaking with one another by speaking about a particular saint that you read about? To take a little lives of the saints, you don't have to do a whole book that's as thick as this. What I like to do is to take one little page, one-page summaries of the lives of a saint. That's enough for me as a priest. It's probably enough for each one of you, even our little ones, to be able to snap onto something and to see, here's a good thing about this person. Maybe that can inspire me to do something of greatness in that regard today. Because what does our Lord say in the gospel? He says, if anybody who comes to me without hating his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. The one who doesn't first calculate the cost of the journey which he is about to make will end up not having enough funds to be able to complete the work or to be able to end the journey. Our journey in this life isn't about dancing with the stars. It's not about amassing a great amount of wealth. Really, all those things fade. And only our relationship with Christ is going to carry us into the next life. Saint Ignatius knew it. Not from the beginning, but only after hours of meditation. And so too, by looking at the lives of those who are inspiring heroes, not just on the sports field, or in the life of the elan of those who are popular and celebrities, but those who are celebrities in God's eyes. Take a moment, read the lives of the saints. As you get to know them and they get to know you, they'll show you what life is really about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.